Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning. Happy to be here. And want to welcome everyone here. See visitors there, and we're thankful to have you with us this morning. This morning, my message is about, the title of it would be Pleasing God, Pleasing Jesus. And but I would like to sing a song first. If you could turn to 468 in your Faith and Praise. This doesn't, 469, I'm sorry about that, but this doesn't say anything about pleasing God, but this is about faith. And I studied for my message, I realized that faith and pleasing God are connected quite well. Maybe we could stand to sing this song. 469.
Encamp along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers, rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe and veils below, let all our strength be heard. Faith is a victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is a victory. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We bear the road that saints above with shouts of triumph yawn. A faith divine, a world with friends, with God o'er everything. The faith by which they conquer death is you.
As I've said already, the title of my message this morning is Pleasing God. And, you know, when I first started thinking about this, it was a couple weeks ago, and what brought it to my mind, I think, mostly was thinking about how what we do is connected so much to pleasing God. And, you know, we think of pleasing Jesus, doing things for God, and we think of action. We think of that we're doing something, deeds, works. And as I studied, though, I found out that it's connected quite well, but it's not the first thing about pleasing God. The first thing I think about pleasing God is having faith in God. In Hebrews 11:5, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. And that doesn't talk about, it talks about by faith, yes, but it's more to do with his walk. And then I came across this verse in my, as I was reading the one-year Bible in devotions, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1 says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." So here we see it's our life, our walk. So Paul was saying that it was that it's important to please God, and Enoch pleased God because his life, he walked with God. He had a life that, he had a testimony that it showed everybody he was with that he believed in God, and he had a life that supported that belief. But the key verse here, I think, this morning is this verse in Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." So it just says it straight there. If we don't have faith, we can't please God. It says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is God, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So I believe this morning this message revolves around these three verses that I've read. And I would like to bring out 2 points this morning. Even though there are many verses in the Bible that bring out very specifically what pleases God. For example, in Psalms it says a couple places that God takes pleasure in people who fear his name or who fear the Lord properly. And there are many other verses that I found that give little tidbits that say exactly what it is that pleases God, or more specifically. But the points that I want to bring out this morning is just 2 points. The first one is that it takes faith to please God. And the second point is a life of holiness must follow our faith to please God. And I want to stick with those 2 points, because I think if we follow these 2 points, then all of those other things that the Bible specifically brings out that pleases God will fall into place if we do these 2 things first, or most of all, most importantly. It takes faith to please God, and a life of holiness must follow our faith. You've all heard the phrase, people say this, they say, you got the cart before the horse. You know, when they're bringing out, they're telling somebody that they got something ahead of something that they should have got first. You got the cart before the horse. And so this morning, I'd like us to think about that phrase a little bit. And I would like to consider a holy life as the cart, and I would like to consider our faith as the horse. See, there are people who think they are pleasing God because they have their good deeds down pat, but they don't have faith. And we could say that they have a good cart, but no horse to pull the cart because they don't have any faith. And so I want to look at faith first, and then after that look at how a holy life follows our faith. In Hebrews it says it takes faith to please God. We just read that verse. And what does that mean, that it takes faith to please God? This is not a trick question that I'm asking you. This is not, but I'd like to open it up. I'd like you to just say, share, what comes to your mind when, why does it take faith to please God? And I don't have you on the spot. You don't have to have a perfect answer. I just think it would be good for us, for a couple of you, to just say what comes across your mind when the Bible says it takes faith to please God. Why does it take faith to please God? I'd like to open it up a little bit. Anybody? I'm asking you why. I heard you say the word trust, and I like that word. But I like your faith, too, because that's true faith. Someone was going to say something here. Okay, so we're surrendering. Yeah, I like that, too. Anyone else yet? Trusting. I think when we come to it, when we look at it, it comes down to that word. So, thank you for what you've shared, and it makes it more interesting and real to us when we think about it in that way. But I believe, just like some of you mentioned too, to please God, we must trust Him. You know, God knows that we cannot be with Him unless we believe in Him and trust Him for our eternal life. That's the basic and the highest reason. But I also heard other things that you've mentioned too. It pleases God for us to acknowledge that we need Him. It pleases God for us to surrender our hearts to Him. It pleases God to trust Him with our soul, our eternal soul. And you know, many people believe there is a God, but don't trust Him with their they don't trust Him with their life. They don't trust Him with anything. They don't trust Him with their soul. And you know, even in more practical terms, right now, there are many American people who are struggling trusting God that He's in control of the presidential elections. I've talked to many people that are just, they're having a hard time really thinking that God is in control right now of this thing. And, you know, it's really real in our lives. And each of us comes to a time in our life when we find it hard to trust God because of something that happened to us. And, you know, we are tempted to blame God for the hardships that we're going through. But we have to remember, it pleases God when we have faith and when we continue to trust Him, even when we are tempted just to trust ourselves more. How many of us trust God to reveal to us who God would like to have for our new minister? You know, it pleases God when we trust Him on every aspect of our life. It pleases Him when we have faith in Him. And I'd like us to try to put it into our situation. I'm not wanting to downplay God, because God is so much greater than us, but I think God understands our feelings, and He possibly has some of the same feelings we have at times. So, think about what we feel like when people do not trust us, especially when we're not trusted, and we deserve to be trusted. We have done nothing to cause anybody to mistrust us, and yet we're still not trusted. Can you know how that feels? That just feels very, very. It feels bad. You wonder what's going on. And also, maybe you got a new job and nobody knows your history in that job. They don't know what you're capable of doing. But you know that I can do what they're doing in this job, and I can do it a lot better than they, but they don't trust you because they don't know what you can do. And so here we have a God that can do everything that we need so much better than we can ever do it, and so much higher than us, and yet we don't trust him. We're tempted not to trust him. So can you imagine how that must feel to God when we don't trust? Now, how must it feel to him when we do trust? That's what a point I want to make. It pleases God when we trust him. God, and I want us to remember that God loves us even while we have trouble trusting him. I want to help us to understand that it pleases God for us to have faith in him, a God who is supreme and knows everything about us, and he knows more about us than we even know about ourselves. So I can imagine it must be frustrating to Jesus, if Jesus gets frustrated, I don't think he does, but to see us not trust him, to see us not put our faith in him. And so I just bring out this point. It takes faith to please God. That's the first and foremost thing that we need to remember. We have to keep in our minds, in our hearts, that if we want to please God, we must trust him, have faith in him. So now I'd like to move on to a little more about a life of holiness must follow our faith. And I say holiness because it is a life of obedience to God. I read the verse already. I'll read it again in 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk, and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." And how ye ought to walk, and to please God. You know, our Christian walk must follow our trust in God. I think there is some merit in being good and doing good deeds, but it doesn't please God if we try to be good and have good works without trusting him. So it looks good, and it might feel good to you at times, and it might impress other people, but it still doesn't please God because you're doing it just for your own benefit and to maybe show people. Maybe you're doing it just to so you can bring your children up correctly. But if you don't trust God, that doesn't please God. Those works do not please God. I don't think the Bible would support that thinking. Our good works and our correct choices should be done because we believe God is sovereign, and that we also believe that Jesus loves us. And, you know, I'm happy to see people do good things because I think that sort of proves that they care about pleasing God. When I see young people, I see anybody just simply doing good things, it gives us all, we like to see that. I like to see it. But we have to remember that does not guarantee that they are pleasing God. Just because you see somebody doing good works, that doesn't guarantee that they are pleasing God. And I would guess that the Anabaptist believing people, Mennonites, Amish, whatever, most of those people, the way they have been taught, I would say they represent the Christian walk better than most people in the world. Doesn't make them a Christian, but they're taught to represent that. And I would even say it's stronger than that yet. Personally, I think that the legacy that the Anabaptists have in the world is probably the best legacy out there in the world. But many of us, how many of us have, I'm going back to the horse and cart again. How many of us have a good, strong cart of works and legacy, but our horse of faith is a plug and can barely pull it a mile? You know, our faith and our trust in God is weak, and instead of feeding and exercising our horse properly, we keep building our cart stronger until suddenly our horse dies. Then what happens? You know, then we're forced to go out and get another horse and a cart because we can't find a horse strong enough to pull our overbuilt cart. And you know, we had kept building this cart so strong, it's too restrictive and it pulls too hard. So we have to get a cart that is built lighter and that's not so clumsy. Now, you know, we can take, now after we do that, we can take our weak faith and pull our lighter cart. In our Christian walk, it is so important for our faith to become stronger. You know, we need to really put a lot of emphasis on trusting Jesus, trusting God with every aspect of our life. Regardless what obstacles we face, we need to keep our faith strong and keep maintaining our faith. That is the only way we can really pull our cart of legacy and holiness. And just to clarify, I'm not saying Anabaptists put too much emphasis on their legacy. I know there are some that do, but I know many more that throw it away a little carelessly. What I really want to say strong is I'm trying to say that all Christians, doesn't matter which denomination you're part of, get easily unbalanced from faith, unbalanced to over onto works and legacy. And faith is the number one thing that we have to keep in mind. That is our horse. We have to keep our horse strong. We have to keep our faith strong in order to pull our deeds and our good works along. You cannot please God without faith in Jesus. And now, maybe to balance this message out a bit more, make it a little more practical, we have to also recognize that faith and works are really connected to each other. I've made it sound so far that maybe they're not quite connected, but now I would like to balance it out a little bit. You know, when things are in the correct perspective, the horse and cart are harnessed and hitched. When things are like we believe and we are doing how we should, faith and works are hitched and connected. And in James 2, verse 18, it says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." You know, I can't say that any better. That's the best it can be said. And this verse says it perfectly. I read an illustration that faith and works are like both of our legs, that they're hand in hand, they walk together. And I partially agree with that. But I think that works without faith is a very, very bad thing. It's a very deceptive thing. And so I don't really like that illustration of our two legs. I tend to want to put a little more emphasis on having our horse strong and our cart fully harnessed and connected to our faith, to pull it along. They have to go together. In Hebrews 11, or I'm going to start back even further, in Genesis, just read the account of Enoch. It says, in Genesis where it talked about Enoch, it says, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And then in verse 24 it says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, it doesn't really say much, but then in Hebrews, I read this verse already, it says, by faith Enoch was translated, in other words, God took him to heaven that he should not see death, and he was not found. We didn't see him on earth anymore because God took him to heaven. For before he went to heaven, before God took him to heaven, he had this testimony, and this is all it says in the Bible about it, that he pleased God. So he had a faith and a walk. He had a horse and a cart that he kept connected really, really good. And as he went through life, and God knew it, and God, for some reason, chose to take him early to heaven. Maybe not early, but he didn't go through the dying experience, as most of us will probably go through. Enoch pleased God with his walk, He had a testimony that he tried to please God with his life. Enoch's walk followed his faith in God, and they were connected. The horse of faith was harnessed and hitched to the cart of works or his life. So the question that we each need to ask ourselves, if our walk is connected to our faith in Jesus, do the choices we make about every area of our life show that we have faith and trust in Jesus that pleases God like Enoch did? If we have our faith and trust in Jesus correctly, then our life will please God. I'm not saying that this will happen naturally. I'm saying it is hard to separate true faith in Jesus from a walk that pleases God. I think if we have a true faith in Jesus, that our walk will be more easily connected. It's hard to separate them if we really believe in Jesus and trust him with everything. Our walk sort of comes with us. It seems like the cart gets connected better the more we trust Jesus. Having our faith in Jesus properly, you know, that motivates us to want to please him more. So if we are struggling to please God, why are we struggling? Is it because we lack faith in God? Or do we have trouble trusting him with our complete life? I mean, we trust him for most of it, but is there something that we don't want to trust to him? Are we struggling to please God because we're trying to unhitch the cart? You know, I feel that many Christians are struggling because they have the cart unhitched 75% of the time. They have faith in Jesus. They trust him partially, but we don't want to completely walk with him because we've counted the cost, and the cost is too great. So we want to unhitch that cart. We just want to have faith and trust, but we don't actually want to walk with him like we're supposed to. You know, to walk with God takes sacrifice of ourselves. It also requires us to ask ourselves if the choices we're making right now please God, because they're connected. So once we get that cart connected, now you got to start asking about the choices you make, because they're connected. And if you don't want to ask about the choices that we make, we have to unconnect the cart. I believe if we have the correct perception in our hearts about pleasing God, that is like another tool or a stronger tool that gives us as Christians more leverage and more power in our Christian walk. It helps us to be more faithful. It's difficult to live a victorious Christian life if we don't have that motivation to please God. And, it's like a really big uphill battle. The Christian life is an uphill battle, but it's even a worse one. You get down into the muck and you get stuck and you just have a hard time. You know, if I naturally cared about pleasing God more than anything else in my life, my choices would be very easy. My choices would be simple. They would be clear. But we live in a fallen world, and you know, I have to make the choice all the time to care about pleasing God, to even get to have that desire in me to want to please God. You know, we long for that desire, but because we live in the fallen world, that desire does not come naturally. And so the best thing we can do is get our horse of faith and strengthen that horse of faith, trust Jesus with everything, and keep the cart of our life and works hitched properly. That is the best thing that we can do with that. So to sum this up, I really hope this message could encourage each of us here today, but especially to any of us today who are struggling with the desire to choose good things in our lives. You know, I've had that trouble. I know all of us have had that trouble, and some of us struggle with it more than others at times, where we just don't have a desire to even do what we need to do sometimes. And this, I would just like to say, again, the steps to have this, to please God. You know, trust Jesus. Trust Jesus with every detail of your life. Have faith. You have to have faith to please God. And number two, then, keep your choices and actions connected to your faith. Don't try to disconnect those from your faith. Keep your horse and cart connected. Don't try to have faith in Jesus by doing nothing. It doesn't work that way. But most important, I think Enoch had a testimony about his trust in God because his works followed his faith. And, you know, we serve the same God that Enoch served, the same God that Enoch walked with that took him to heaven before he died. That's the same God that we serve. And that our God hasn't changed. Not one. He hasn't changed. It's the same God. Do you think our faith in our walk could move God to take us to be with him before we die? You know, I'd just like to close with that. That was an inspiring thought to me as I looked at Enoch's life. And I thought about that. I think he had a real special faith and a real special walk to move God that way. Or maybe God had a better reason. I don't know. We don't know that. But whatever he did, it moved God to take him to heaven to be with him without going through the process of dying. I'm not sure why that is. But inspired me to have that kind of faith and walk in my life. Thank you for your attention. I'll leave it.